Welcome to the Park Snacker Pod, your source for Disney Parks news. I am Matt, and I'm with my co-host Katie. Katie, what's going on?
Hey, hey, I'm excited to be here. I have some exciting news to share.
Oh no, I don't know what it is.
I know it's kind of obvious when I'm sitting right here, but over this past weekend, Nick and I got engaged.
Yay!
So I have a sparkly little ring on my finger now. So
yeah, if you're on video, she's flaunting it right now. So
I know you'll be watching it the whole time because I'm still not used to wearing it, and I'm like, because I'm not a jewelry person. Like I really don't ever have rings or necklaces or earrings or anything on. So like I keep catching myself like, what the hell is that? Oh my gosh, it's so sparkly. I am literally on cloud nine. It's been a fun past week since it's happened. So very excited, still very early in the process, but looking forward and also kind of scared for the future, because now comes the stressful part of actually planning. I mean, Nick and I have been dating for forever, so we kind of already luckily know a lot of what we want the day to look like. But now is the actual, hey, we need to actually get things on paper and get things booked and pay for it and all that fun stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's been pretty much taking over my life the past week or so.
Yeah, I go away for a week and you come back engaged. Like, what the heck is going on?
Well, it was great too because you were actually conveniently one of the first person I texted about it, because you had sent me a TikTok and it, for whatever reason, my phone wasn't working, loading or whatever. And I was like, well, that's cool. I'll watch it later. But also, did you want to know something cool?
Yeah.
So I
was
very
like
honored.
I was like, oh, are you going to Disney or what are you like Disneyland? And then
even better. Yeah. I got a sparkly thing on my hand.
Yeah. So happy for you guys. That's awesome.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. We're very excited. But that's pretty much me. What's been going on with you? Anything? Probably, hopefully not as cool. No new engagements in your life.
We were away on vacation last week, so it was nice to just get some time off and chill.
Yeah.
You know, there's been some good Disney stuff in the news. So excited to get back and, you know, chat about that. I've been eager to. Sorry we were delayed a day on the episode. We had some things come up, but we are here back this week, you know, here on a Friday. Hopefully you guys are getting ready for the weekend. Just another weekend in August. That's all it is.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Actually, a lot of kids are probably back in school now. I didn't really think about that. But, here in the Northeast, they don't go back to like after Labor Day. So.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. There, I drive on my way to work. I drive through three different school zones. And they were back to school today because I was super late and there was a lot of school bus traffic I was not expecting.
Yeah.
You would think that I would actually pay attention to when the schools start going back, but I don't. And I just get surprised by it. I was like, huh, there's a lot of school buses out today. I'm going to be late to work.
That's all right.
Yep.
Cool. Well, yeah, good to be back. So why don't we got a lot to kick off today. Some quick topics, you know, Halloween is now beginning at Disney World. Disney had their Q3 earnings call. So there's some stuff pertaining to the parks that we're going to talk about. And then three Disney Plus changes. One I just found out literally before I started recording. But three Disney Plus changes that we're going to be talking about. What did I say?
Disney Plus.
Sorry.
It's okay because I was like, oh, wait, I don't know any Disney Plus news. That's exciting.
Well, there is Disney Plus news. We won't talk about it, but they did announce that the ad version is coming out December 8th. It's going to be the current price point at $7.99, which we pay now. If you want the non-ad version, I think it's like $10.99.
Mm-hmm.
So it's December 8th. So yeah, there is Disney Plus news. We're not going to really go into it. So.
There you go. That was the Disney Plus news. And also Genie Plus news. One of these days we'll
Genie,
get it right.
Yes, Genie Plus. So too many pluses these days.
I know. I said it before. Disney's naming convention is not good. They need to change things up a bit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, everyone's taken after them. There was Discovery Plus and then the very short, short-lived CNN Plus. So anyways, then today they also announced the new springtime surprise weekend, so we'll talk about that, which is the Run Disney event. So before we get started, we got to talk about Park Snacker. Of course, it is a free mobile app where you can rate, review, and discover over 60,000 menu items at Walt Disney World. You can connect with your friends to see what they're snacking on, browse menus, you can create custom lists, and so much more. You can head over to parksnacker.com to download the app, which is available for iOS and Android. Again, just head over to parksnacker.com today to rate and review what you eat and drink at Walt Disney World. So some fun stuff going on over at Parksnacker. We have a lot of things in the works, slowly rolling out. Just between Doug and I, it's always tough to just get stuff out. We're getting there. But we have some fun things coming up soon, so be on the lookout for that. All right, so Katie, let's get started. So we're gonna do some of our quick topics. I feel like our quick topics always take longer than they should. But I have fun doing this stuff. So first up, I saw in the news that Soarin is testing a single rider line over at Disney World. I never would have thought that needed a single rider line. I guess maybe they need people to jump in like on the ends or something like that, just to fill in the capacity. There really isn't too much news right now, but it has been confirmed from cast members that they are testing a single rider line. It's not available all the time, but at times it might just be randomly open. So I don't know. Do you have any thoughts on that?
I heard it. I don't know much about it yet, but yeah, I'm super pumped for it. I love single rider line for anything. Like, I will not ride Test Track unless I have a Genie Plus pass for it, or if I go into single rider line. Like, excuse me, I always ride Everest with single rider line, right? Like, I think this is huge. I do actually feel like Soarin is probably one of those that does have one or two open seats each show. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not gonna be a lot at all. So I feel like this single rider line might be longer than others. Like, Everest is pretty quick for a single rider line. Test Track is a little bit more. But like, if you think about it, like, there's a weird number of spaces in each little car flight thing. So I bet you do have one or two empty spots each movie. So this is huge. I love this. I wish every rider would have a single rider line.
Yeah, I think this is now the fifth ride. So there's Test Track, Everest, Smuggler's Run, and what would be the last? Oh, Rock and Roller Coaster, right? Isn't there a single rider line?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So this would now. Yeah, this would now be the fifth option. I wouldn't mind doing it for Soarin, just because, like, they don't take your photo also on this ride. Like, it's fun, like, having your photos, like, you know, being with people, you know, whether it's, you know, Everest. Wait, do they have photos for Everest?
Oh, yeah, they do.
Oh, yeah, they do. Yeah, they do. That's right. They do. Yeah, you know, definitely Rock and Roller Coaster, Test Track, you know, and such. So I'm actually not the biggest fan of single rider, just because if I'm with people, I would much rather, like, ride together. Unless it's like a ridiculously long wait, then yeah, maybe Test Track I would do it. So
yeah, that's pretty much the only reason. Like, so Test Track is always super long, right? So it's always a single rider. Everest will do with, like, if we're not rope dropping it, we'll do it pretty early in the morning typically, and you can get one or two rides in before it gets more than 20-30 minutes.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's one that single rider for that one, it doesn't really bother me. You make a good point about the pictures though, because I have some really funny photos of me on Everest with random strangers who clearly didn't get the memo to pose.
Yeah.
I'm like, hello, you gotta make it, whatever.
for sure. So that's, we'll see what happens, in the coming weeks and months to see if, you know, it's happening full time. So they also announced today that the Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique is reopening August 25th over at the Magic Kingdom and the Disneyland Park. And as of today, reservations are open. So you can just go to DisneyWorld.com or Disneyland and go make those reservations. I don't think I'll ever do, we have a daughter. I'm not sure if we'll really... I it's funny. I was literally talking to my wife about this today because she was buying outfits on, like, Target for, some Disney outfits for Cora or for the Disney trip coming up. And I'm like, just don't buy her any, like, Disney dresses, because I feel like, it's going to be hot.
Yeah.
I don't want her to be uncomfortable in, like, a Disney dress, all this stuff in her hair. So, like, I honestly, I don't think I would. I say this now.
I was going to say, I'm with you, though. I feel the exact same way. I'm like, I would much rather have, like, a cutesy. I'm pretty sure one of my nieces, I can't remember if it was Nick's niece or my niece, but one of them, I'm pretty sure it was Nick's niece, who, in our trip in February, I'm pretty sure one of the outfits I bought her, like, we bought her to wear was, like, literally pajamas, like a pajama dress, nightshirt kind of thing, but it looked like real clothes. So yeah. We were like, yeah, sure, girl, go for it. Like, you're three, who cares? Be comfy. Like, I would wear PJs if I could.
I wanted to make sure she's comfortable in, like, shorts and a t-shirt. You know, we'd lather her up with some sunscreen. You know, good to go.
Yeah. So. I think my thing is, like, it just looks so uncomfortable to me. I'm sure the kids love every second of it. But it looks so uncomfortable to me. And I'm like, oh, but their hair all slicked back. Like, that looks like it would give you a headache. But you're three, so I guess it's fine. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. On our trip this past week, we did a very short hike. There were, like, some really nice waterfalls where we went. And I, for the first time, I had carried Cora on, like, we had this, like, pouch thing. And I carried her on my back. Never did that before. The amount of sweat that built up between her and I felt so bad for her. She loved it, though. She was like, you know, we were on this trail. She, you know, she was so comfortable there. She ended up falling asleep on the way back. Oh, and like, but when we took her off my back, she was just covered in sweat. But so I think kids are just like, they don't know that they need it yet. Yeah, they don't understand. So maybe they have a higher tolerance. But me, I'm just like, oh, God, I'm just so gross in my back. Yeah,
I'm with you.
Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, maybe kids have a just better tolerance than us. But anyway, so yeah, Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique is reopening August 25th. Next up, so Disney World, you know, Halloween starts, you know, today. This episode is dropping on August 12th on a Friday. Disney is officially open for Halloween. Tonight is the first Halloween party. The first four parties, are sold out. And then September 2nd is sold out. That is the Labor Day weekend.
Yeah, that's the Friday of Labor Day weekend. That's also my niece's birthday.
Oh, there you go. Happy birthday, niece.
I don't know.
October 31st is sold out as well. So you have some parties already selling out. You know, exciting. You know, we're going to be there. We're really excited because Halloween's my favorite season. We're going to be there in September. Can't wait to see the direct decorations. The treats came out this past week. I need to make sure I get as many Halloween treats as possible because there are some that are available only during the Halloween party, but there are enough, you know, to try when, you know, during just your day at Magic Kingdom. And they have like a new version of, you know, the Cheshire Cattail at Cheshire Cafe.
Yeah.
They have a new version of it. I haven't looked at it in a while, but I think it's like the Binks. Man, which cat is it? I forget exactly what it was, but it's like a new edition of like the Halloween version of the Cheshire Cattail. Ooh. I'm blanking on what it is, but I'm really excited about it. So,
like,
but
Binks, the cat from Hocus Pocus?
That's, I'm going to have to look. I'm not.
Okay.
Yeah.
I hadn't seen that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm, you know. Oh, here we go. Foodie's Guide. I'll try to bring it up. But yeah, Katie, as I bring this up, you know, is it too early for, you know, too early for Halloween? You know, it's definitely, you know, too early for me.
I don't know. For me personally, and I'm not even in Florida, but like even in the Midwest here, it is still so blazing hot. Like, I just can't wrap my mind around it being Halloween time already. Just like mentally, I'm just not. Like, it's just not clicking. That said, freaking love Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
Big fan. Yeah. So I definitely have already bought some pumpkin coffee. Haven't started drinking it yet, but that is just coincidence because I definitely bought it.
Yeah.
And I'm going to drink it anytime now. I don't know. It's early, but you do you, Disney. If Disney says so, like, I am wearing my Welcome Foolish Mortals shirt. So I did prepare. I'm not opposed. I don't decorate until September. Like, I give each holiday, like, I give fall decorations 2 months, and then I give Christmas decorations 2 months, like 3 months-ish.
Yeah.
So I'll start decorating. Plus, I just bought a whole bunch of new decorations for my, like, normal summer stuff. So I'm like, I gotta keep those on at least for a week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But what do you think? Too early? You ready?
Yeah,
too early?
It's always too early for me. You know, September, I definitely start early September decorations. So, But yeah, so yeah, I got it up. It is called the Binks Pastry Tale, you know, taking after Binks the cat from Hocus Pocus. It's literally just the cat tail, but it's drizzled with like dark chocolate and it's topped with like a chocolate piece that has an image of Binks on it. So
nice.
I'm still going to get it just because it's my favorite and I need it. So, but they also have at the Cheshire Cafe, which I'm also going to get, the Cold Witch's Brew Coffee, French vanilla cold brew with pumpkin spice foam topped with Halloween sprinkles.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to be chugging that down with my Binks pastry tail. So perfect. Very excited for that.
Good life choice.
Oh, you know what? I got to add all this into Park Snacker.
Yeah, you do.
I didn't even think about that. I got to do that. So, all right. Well, I got to get all this new food in. I should probably do that this weekend, actually. So,
well, there you go.
Yeah. All right. So Halloween at Disney has officially begun. All right. So that's all for the quick topics. I do have some a pre-trip update. And one thing that I want, you know, us to debate about, because we were kind of talking about it this past week. So, all right. So two things about my trip. You know, it's always fun to talk about this stuff. One good thing is my flight changed, and it is now coming in an hour early to Orlando, which we're really excited about. So instead of getting in at like just before 5, we are now getting in about 3:50, you know. Nice. So that's really good. And the good thing about that is, so my mom is flying in from Colorado. She was coming in at 3. We were supposed to get in at 5, but now I didn't want her to wait 2 hours at the airport. I was going to send her in on Mears Connect to the hotel. But now she's going to wait for us, and it has now solidified our plans to keep the car rental. This debate, I know, has been going on for so long. But because what's going to happen is my mom's going to help out with my wife and Cora to get the bags. I can go immediately go pick up our car. And then we'll all go to the resort together, because my mom is only gonna have to wait like 45 minutes at the airport for us.
Nice.
So
that all works out, and you finally made your car decision. That's so great.
I know. Now it's solidified. We are keeping the car. So yeah. Then the other fun thing is I got the coveted Topolino's breakfast reservation, which super stoked about. We are going to be going on our day off the Wednesday, the where we take a break from the parks. So I got the reservation through, I don't know if I mentioned them on the show before, but I got an Ogus Cantina reservation from them. Mm-hmm. There's a website called diningfairy.com. Now there are several websites such as Mouse Watchers. There's a couple others, but you can pay them to send you alerts for when a reservation becomes available. Now they only send you an alert. That's it. You will then have to go in yourself and go in. You know, if the reservation is still available, you have to go in and actually go book it. Mm-hmm. I can't remember how I found Dining Fairy. I think it maybe was an Instagram ad. On Dining Fairy, they'll actually book the reservation for you. And you're probably thinking, like, wait, how do they do that? Well, you actually become friends with them. They have, like, their own a Disney account. You become friends with them. And they will then, you know, book. If something becomes available, they'll book it on your behalf. So, you know, one morning I woke up last week and I see that at midnight I got a Walt Disney World confirmed reservation for Topolino's. I'm like, oh, snap. So I got it from them. So the debate is, I posted this, and some people, I guess, aren't just, they're not too happy about, I'm not going to name any names, and, you know, people are, they can have their opinions. That's totally fine. That's why I want to talk about this. And I'm from you listeners, I want to know what you think of this topic. So there are some people out there that get upset because it's so hard to get dining reservations. And because there are services like this, like just making it, I guess you could say now, easier for people, but people also having to pay, like I had to pay to get this done. It cost me, since there were 5 of us, it's $2 per person per reservation. So I paid $10 to get this reservation. So people are just upset that there are like services out there and people are paying money to get these reservations, and it's already so hard to get reservations that I guess people just don't like the idea of these services. So in my opinion, before I get handed to you, Katie, since I don't live near Disney World and I only go to Disney like once a year, you know, if that, I know I am very lucky. I never go twice a year. This is the first time where I am going twice. But you know, if I want to get Topolino's for like a family trip, I'm going to do whatever I can to get that reservation. And if there is something to give me a leg up, sorry for, you know, from other people, like, yeah, like I'm going to pay $10 because now I'm going to have the fun experience of going to Topolino's. I got it at like a perfect time at 8:55. My daughter will now see characters at the, you know, at the breakfast. So like it was one of the things that it was definitely my top three things of doing this trip. So like I'll do whatever I can, you know, with anything that comes to Disney these days. It is a dog eat dog world. And I hate to say it, but, you know, you got to do what you got to do. So, Katie, what are your thoughts on this?
I am with you pretty much entirely. I agree. Like, we are not locals. We don't get to go all the time. I think I'm a little bit off, separate from you, just because I did have the annual pass. So I did go multiple times, multiple years in a row. So I don't think I necessarily would use this too much. But I agree, for the one reservation you want for Topolino's or what have you, like, this is a great idea for, especially for those who are traveling from out of town. This is your one big trip of the year or of the 5 years or ever, right? Like, you're going to do what you need to do to get what you want. And I think this is a great company to be able to do it for you. Because, yeah, when I went in February, I had set up some alerts on one of the other free ones that just send you the alerts, or set up the account. And I never got anything out of it, right? Like, it was free. Luckily, I didn't have to pay anything for that one. Mm-hmm. But this one, I mean, shoot, yeah, I would have gladly paid $4 for me and Nick to go eat at, like, Space 220 or something. Because mm-hmm. I kid you not, for 2 months straight, I checked the dining websites over and over and over again, and I couldn't find anything. And it was a bummer, right? Because I was contained to that week only, right? Mm-hmm. So I think it does – as soon as I saw that you got that and we started talking about it, I was like, yeah, with you 100%. I had to take my step back and put myself in the shoes of a local who, like, in my mind, yeah, okay, they can go anytime, but they also don't really plan that out, right? Like, you want to mm-hmm. be able to just say, like, you know what sounds good on Sunday? I want to go to Topolino's, right? Like, it's a different balance. So I had to put myself in their shoes to realize, like, that would be a bummer. Like, yeah, I'm so close, and yet I can still never get it. Because, like, if I'm local, I'm not going to pay someone to do this. Like, that's just silly to me. Just like if I were local, I rarely, if ever, would do Genie Plus or anything like that. So I get why, as a local, it doesn't make any sense, and it would be kind of annoying. But honestly, like, it doesn't irk me too much because they're not price gouging, right? Like, $2 a person is nothing. Mm-hmm. Like, nothing. They probably realize that it could be so low because they'll have families like parties of 5, parties of 10 who will mm-hmm. get like a decent more chunk out of it. But like me and Nick paying $4 to go to Topolino's, hell yeah. Like in the grand scheme of a huge Disney trip, which all of ours as non-locals $4 is not a lot.
Yeah, and I was able to get it for the morning and time that I wanted. Like, you know, I set it between, you know, 8 and, like, 11 or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. And for that Wednesday morning, and I, you know, I got it. So it's like, oh, cool. Like, you know, it's not like I looked it up and it's like it became available in a day that, like, you know, I can't have it. And I'm not wasting a lot of my time, like, searching every day, you know, in the app. It's like, okay, is it available today? And then just being like bummed out when like it's not available or something. So
happens.
But I totally get the whole local side, like how it could be a bummer. You know, I think the one advantage they do have is a lot of cancellations always happen the day before.
That is true.
Like, if you like, even when you're planning a Walt Disney World trip, like, always look at something the day before. Things always open up. I see people all the time on my Instagram feed that are like people that are locals that are like, oh, this just opened. Yo, I got a last minute reservation to this or to that. And, you know, they get like all excited. It's like, oh, that's awesome. Like, that's, you know, that's great. So, you know, it'll happen for a tuple, you know, sometimes. Yeah. But, yeah, I just wanted to bring that up. And, you know, you as a listener, you know, do you have any thoughts on this? Let us know. Write us in, you know, matt@parksnacker.com. Let us know what you think. You know, no opinions are wrong here. So, but yeah, if again, I can't say good enough things about diningferry.com. They helped me on the last trip. They helped me on this. So I'm not being paid to say that. Just FYI. I just really like their service. So, all right. So let's get into some of the, I guess, not so fun stuff. it's always fun, but so the Disney company had their quarter three earnings call, yesterday. And there's always some kind of tidbits that came out of this. So the Disney Parks Experience and Products, they made $7 billion this past quarter. That includes, you know, the parks, Ventures by Disney, the Disney Cruise Line and such like that, compared to $4.3 billion last year. You know, a lot of things were still closed, including like cruises weren't really doing much at this time last year. But if you compare it to last quarter, they made $6.7 billion. So they are just continuing to see growth in that division, you know. And a lot of that is coming from, you know, say the new Disney Wish that, you know, is helping out. But a lot of it is also, you know, the people spending more on merch, people paying Disney. I was going to say it again, Genie Plus and Lightning Lanes. Bob Chapek said that they're seeing like 50% of guests each day purchasing Genie Plus and Lightning Lanes. So that's a lot of money there. The segment operating income, meaning like how much they had to spend, increased from the last fiscal year quarter. So this past quarter, they spent $2.2 billion. So that's how much Disney actually put out. So, you know, they made a net of, you know, do some math, 5.2, I guess, like that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's just more guest spending. There's more occupied hotel rooms, you know, the staterooms aboard the Disney cruise ships. There's a lot more going on there. So, Katie, any thoughts on this?
That's just a disgusting amount of money. But yeah, shocker.
In a quarter. Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. No, I mean, I'm not shocked at all. Disney's continuing to vamp up literally everything they do, and they're making killer profit off of us.
Yeah.
So they're out here price gouging us and making $5.2 billion in 4 months. I feel like they're fine.
Yeah. Yeah. And if, you know, this is, we don't have anyone else to blame but us. We're going to keep, spending money on it, then they're going to keep doing stuff, you know. Yeah. So, you know, good for them, I guess you could say, for doing so well. You know, everyone Disney hates is a Bob business. Chapek. It is. That's what it is when it comes down to it. It's a business. So, but this next piece I'm not particularly excited about is because, you know, everyone hates the park reservation system. It is not going anywhere, according to Bob Chapek, as well as Christine McCarthy, who is the chief financial officer at Disney. They're very happy with the park reservation system. They have the ability to change whatever factors they need regarding ticket packaging. They've also found that the reservation system does a good job at spreading out demand and providing a better experience for guests by limiting park capacity. Essentially, this just helps Disney adjust their operating needs day to day. They see, you know, what parks are going to have more people, which, you know, which ones won't, and they could kind of adjust to that. This greatly benefits Disney themselves, but it is not a good guest experience for us. So Disney is going by the, like, Disney's all about guest experience. And what's disappointing me is that they're really going by like the numbers on this one and not like going with the guest experience, which to me, is always, you know, the guest experience should always be number one. You know, me being a user experience designer, for my job, we want to make it the best experience possible for the user, or for our customers. And, you know, that's the bottom line. So just seeing this, and especially them talking about it, like, I was listening to some of their call, and I'm just like, oh man, they just listening to them talk about how they just love the park reservation system just made me so mad.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't listen to it at all, but you said it exactly right, and I don't think I could have ever verbalized it myself, but, like, you're right. They have moved away from being guest experience focused to numbers focused, right? Like, yeah. Okay, sure, you're going to tell me that you're spacing out crowds and it's not so hard and not so, whatever. Like, it's not so bad and guests love it. And I'm like, do we? Like, I guess I don't mind it, honestly. I want it to be easier. I feel like it shouldn't be so hard to find a park day or to switch your park day. Like, God forbid, I thought I was going to go to Magic Kingdom tomorrow, but instead I want to go to Animal Kingdom. And it's impossible to switch that, you know? So they have moved away from guest experience focused. And I think that's hard to swallow. And I think it's a big part of why I've stopped going. Like, not stopped going, obviously, but I don't have my annual pass anymore. Like, I'm okay to take it easy for a little while on my Disney trips. Because it's not the same guest experience anymore. And I don't know. The reservation systems, it is what it is. I knew as soon as they came out, it was never going to go away. And I get it. Like, I do get it. It has got to make it so much easier for cast members. But for guests,
yeah, I think not until they have enough cast members and enough support in, you know, in Disney World, maybe we'll see the park reservation go away, the park pass reservation. But otherwise, it sounds like it's going to be here for the near future. So if you had any inkling of hope that it would disappear, as of yesterday or as of, you know, Wednesday of the quarters, the earnings call, it's not going away. So
I think the biggest thing I just wish they would change is all about park hopping. Like, I hate that you can't park hop until 2. I get it in the sense that, like, if you could park hop anytime, sure, just go tap in at Epcot and then hop over to Magic Kingdom. Like, I get that that's not ideal. But even if it was just, like, you can park hop starting at noon or 11 or something, just a little bit earlier. It seems like when I do park hop, I never want to wait until 2. That seems like such a long time at the first park. And then it makes it really hard. Like, I have been known to park hop to 2 or 3 or even all 4 parks one day, right? Like, I love doing the 4 parks one day challenge. Like, and that makes it impossible to do if you have to stay at 1 until 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
So,
well, to counter you on that, me, I don't mind the 2 p.m. park hopper, especially because I like to take breaks. So when I went in June, I took a break. Well, the first day I kind of took a break, but not really. We actually went from, like, Epcot and then went to Hollywood Studios. So I lied there. But the second day I left Magic Kingdom early. I needed a nap because I was still so tired from the day before. I woke up at 1:30 and then I went out to the bus and I was in the park at Animal Kingdom by 2 o'clock, you know, on the dot. So to me, I don't mind it because, you know, especially the trip coming up, we're going to be taking breaks. We're not park hopping, but still, like, to me, if you're planning to be at the parks all day, I guess you say if you're planning on taking a break in the middle of it, you know, park hopping at 2 isn't so bad.
That's
bad. But I get it. There, you know, there's people on both sides where, you know, there's people like you that want to go earlier. You know, they just want to go to a couple rides in Magic Kingdom and then go somewhere else and stuff like that. So,
yep,
I get it. So, but yeah, I don't think we're going to be seeing anything changing with park hopping as of times. But if there's nothing else on this, this does lead us into some Genie Plus changes. And literally just before we started recording, I saw that there was a change for park hopping for Genie Plus.
What?
Yeah. So, oh no, I got rid of the article. Oh, I lost the article because I didn't put it in my notes. Hold on. I just had it. Where is it? Oh no, where is it? I just had it. Oh, I lost it.
Look in your history.
So, I think it's in my red. Anyways, I know what it is off the top of my head. So, I see I should have added it to my notes. But, all right. So, what happened was They made, so there's three Disney, three Genie Plus changes that I'm going to be discussing. The first one deals with park hopping. So Disney just made a change. Blogmickey.com just wrote about this. What happened in the past, if you were to park hop, say you're in Epcot, and you were to book a Lightning Lane reservation, let me start over. This is why I need notes, guys. I need notes in front of me. Okay, you're in Epcot, and it's like 1:30, and you want to book a Genie Plus. I keep wanting to say Disney Plus. That's what screwed me up. If you want to book a Genie Plus reservation at Animal Kingdom after 2 o'clock, you used to be able to book a reservation and then, you know, stack it if you wanted to later on. As of now, you cannot make a reservation for a park that you're not in. You can't make a reservation until 2 o'clock. Yeah. Katie, if you're on the video feed, Katie's jaw dropped.
I am not happy with that.
Yeah. So they're not allowing you to make a reservation until 2 p.m. timeline.
In that park at 2 p.m.
Yeah, I wish. Where is that stupid article I just had up? Sorry, it's not a stupid article. It's actually very. Was it? Maybe it wasn't Blog Mickey. Where the heck? Oh, here it is. The title. It just got harder to use Genie Plus for park hopping.
Shocker.
Yeah. Yeah. So pretty much. So it says this is what I wanted. So if you try to book a reservation at another park, you know, say you're in Epcot, you're trying to make a Genie Plus reservation at Animal Kingdom. It's going to say select a new time that is included in your park hopper option. Pretty much just meaning you can only select the time for the park that you're in. They have screenshots showing it. This happened to them today, apparently, or the other day. So that's kind of a bummer. So say you're getting ready to park hop. You have to wait till 2 p.m. to now make a reservation. So I guess they want to cater it to the people that are, of course, in the parks to, you know, get those Genie Plus options. Yeah.
The stacking part is what makes me grumpy, right? Like, I would much rather, like, if I'm starting my day at Epcot, but I'm ending my day at Animal Kingdom, I would rather snatch a late night safari, whatever, like 5 o'clock one right away, and then start to stack up at Epcot afterwards, yeah. Right? Like, That's a super bummer because by the 2 o'clock, you're not going to get a safari pass unless they're planning on releasing a lot more at 2 o'clock. I guess maybe they could do that theoretically, but they would have to release more because if you wait until 2 o'clock to book anything, you're not going to get any of the big ones.
I know.
The Animal Kingdom one, I think, is a bad example, but for any of the, like, for Tower of Terror, if I'm starting my day at Animal Kingdom and I want to go to Studios.
Yeah.
And get a Tower of Terror. If I wait until 2 o'clock, there's not going to be any Tower of Terrors, I guarantee.
Yeah.
So I hope Disney at least thinks about that and will post extras at 2 o'clock, which they can. They have every access to do that. So we'll see how it goes. That's a bummer.
I know. I read this. I was like, wow, that's going to suck. So makes things even more complicated. So one more thing to add to the, okay, let me explain how Genie Plus works. I keep wanting to say Disney. It's killing me right now. Not Genie Plus. Did you see that, side note, did you see that Disney put out like 6 how-to videos of like Genie, like how to do Genie Plus, Genie Plus Lightning Lanes?
No.
Yeah, they just put out 6 videos on their website and the app, so you could watch them. So it's funny because the next change that I'm about to talk about, I was trying to explain it to, like, my mom, who has no idea. I'm like, oh, yeah, there's some good news today. But I was like, you're not going to understand because you have no idea how Genie Plus works, how individual Lightning Lane works. So I'm like, here, Mom, watch these videos. Mm-hmm. So it's actually kind of good. I sent her those videos to watch, and she quite enjoyed them. And then I explained it. But
thanks.
Anyway, so that's a bummer there. The other, actually, I'm going to mention one small thing, then I'll go to the good Genie Plus news. So one other thing that happened a couple weeks ago, my friend Jill, she actually reminded me about it yesterday. So, you know, she what happens now is at, you know, when Genie Plus reservations launch at 7 a.m., they used to also display the next available time on that initial page. But now, because there was such poor guest satisfaction, because what was happening was a time would show up of what was available, but you would go to tap on it to book it. You would then be presented with another time because the one that was, you know, the one that you tried to get was is already gone.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is between 7 a.m. and 7:30, from what we've seen, Disney does not display the time on that first page. So now you won't know what the next available time is until you try to book that reservation, because then it's you're already set with that, because you have to confirm your party for that time.
Mm-hmm.
So you have it. Very, does that make sense? That
makes sense to me. And I think, okay, I think I'm fine with it, right? Because that hit me every single day when we did Genie Plus back in Feb. I was livid. Every single day I did Genie Plus, because I was like, what the hell? I'm trying to do a 9 a.m. Haunted Mansion, and it just put me at 3 p.m. Like, what? Like, that's not even close. What? Mm-hmm. So I think I'm fine with it. I think as long as you're going in at 7 a.m. and you have a strategy for what you want first, it shouldn't be too hard. I like seeing the times, because I could be like, oh, well, shoot, Haunted Mansion's already at 3 o'clock. I'm not going to pick that first thing in the morning or whatever. Bad example, but...
I think for this, you definitely have to know what Genie Plus reservation you want to make first, and just book it and then, you know, get the earliest time that you can. So, so there's that change. So the good one is, so back in February, Disney demoted some of the individual Lightning Lane attractions all the way down to the Disney Genie Plus offering. So that was Frozen Ever After, Space Mountain, Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, Expedition Everest, and Remy's Ratatouille Adventure. So on August 7th, they were supposed to revert back to individual Lightning Lanes where you would have to pay for those. But Disney decided not to go forward with that change. Now, for an indefinite amount of time, I think it's just they're there to stay. Those attractions are now part of Genie Plus, which is great. It just gives the... you know, it just adds more value to Genie Plus. And I think it's just, that's something that's going to help out with guest satisfaction, because now there's more attractions available in Genie Plus. Because I was actually kind of bummed out, because I was definitely going to pay for Frozen. I was definitely going to pay for Space Mountain. Definitely I was going to pay for Mickey and Minnie's Everest and Remy's. Like, I was 100% going to pay for all five of those for my family. Now that's, you know, a lot of money that we get to save.
Yeah, that's a couple hundred dollars right there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So get to save a ton of money. So, yeah, what are your thoughts on that?
I think this is awesome. I feel like we talked about this a couple episodes ago, but like, I kind of expected them to do this, because honestly, in the grand scheme of things, it makes no sense that Space Mountain and Everest would go on individual Lightning Lanes. Like, they're great rides, but they're not e-ticket rides, right? Like, they're not the top ride. So it made me furious that they even pretended like, oh, well, we have to have two per park, blah, 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 I'm Disney. But it makes me really happy. I'm actually shocked to see Remy's come down here already, but I don't think Remy's has as nearly big of a following as they thought it would. And Frozen, I mean, I guess shocking, but I'm glad it dropped down, because it's not that great. Like, I don't understand. So this is pretty cool. So it just leaves four rides in individual,
so you
rides.
You still have
Flight Guardian. Of Passage, Guardians, Rise, and Mine Train, right?
Yes, Seven Doors Mine Train.
Mine Train does also irritate me, because that one's clearly the, we have to have one more park. Mine Train is not a good ride, like, even remotely. For kids, like, first roller coaster,
not,
maybe.
Yeah. My mom and sister have not been on that ride, and I'm just like, it's not even worth it. Like,
no.
Like if you want to spend your money to, you know, go try to ride it, if you want to waste your time, go on it. But you're going to waste, if you waste an hour on that, you know, that line, it's not, yeah.
Nope.
Don't do it.
The best time to do Mine Train, and I've done this a couple times, is if either you skip fireworks and go during fireworks, or watch fireworks and run to Mine Train afterwards to get in right before closing. But you're still going to wait. But at least you're not wasting your time, because it's not worth your time. As adults, or as like adults with older kids or young kids who can't do roller coasters, like, it's just not worth it. So Mine Train still irritates me that it's on individual lightning lanes. But you know what? Fine. Do it. Whatever. Yep. It's better that Space Mountain and Everest are not on there anymore, because those just made zero sense.
Yeah, I'm really thrilled about this. I'm pumped. So, good news there. So that is the changes for Genie Plus happening now. The last story for today, and then we're gonna get out of here, is they announced the 2023 Run Disney Springtime Surprise Weekend. I know a lot of people were excited for this to see what they were gonna do. So it is returning to Walt Disney World for its second year on April 13th through the 16th, 2023. So it's going to be all about the magic of Pixar with the Pixar Pals. So you're going to have the Disney Pixar Cars 5K. You're going to have the Monsters 10K, the Toy Story 10 miler. And then you have the Finding Nemo springtime surprise challenge if you run all three of those events. So the general registration for that begins on August 23rd at 10 a.m. The virtual Run Disney is the August 26th, or the registration is at August 26th at 10 a.m. So. This is very exciting. Katie, your Monsters is there.
Oh, my God. I cried, I tell you, when I saw that my favorite race, a 10K, is my favorite Pixar movie, Monsters. And I cannot go in April. I have never once ever considered doing a Run Disney virtual race just to get the medal or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Highly considering doing the 10K virtual race, because I need a medal with Mike and Sully on.
I mean,
oh,
I don't see why not. I mean, I think you should.
Because
do it.
It's really expensive to go run 6 miles by myself. Like, the whole fun of racing for me as a non-runner.
Is the virtual really expensive?
Yeah. I guess I don't remember the prices off top. I guess it's somewhat cheaper than in person, but like, it's still not $20. Like, okay. it's still a price tag. I'll have to look up what it actually is, but it's not something that I would just willy-nilly do, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
to go run by myself. Like, I'm not a runner. I will never go run 6 miles by myself just for funsies. Like, it will be in a race. Like, I love 10Ks because of the atmosphere of the actual race.
Mm-hmm.
But I really like Monsters, Inc. more. We'll also have to see how I'm feeling on August 26th if I choose to do it, or maybe it'll be a last minute decision. I don't know.
So no chance of going to Disney though in April.
No. There's no chance I'll go in April. No. I can't do it.
Time to go anyways.
April's fine. I love April.
Well, it's really busy. Spring break and stuff
is,
like that.
It is. No, I am pretty much strongly considering doing like a short girls trip in January, but other than that, we have no plans to go back.
Gotcha.
It's just too expensive, and something about me getting married and having to pay for a wedding. Like,
yeah, I guess I
have to save my.
Yep.
I also just bought a car, right? Didn't I just tell you that too? So I have a new car, new wedding. I'm like, oh, I guess you need to stop doing expensive things now.
But I
very well might consider doing a virtual Run Disney on this one, because I mean I love Pixar, and I love Cars. I watched Cars last night. Love Cars, love Monsters, Toy Story, Nemo. They're literally my favorite ones. So
yeah, some good ones here.
There's some good ones, and the artwork for it is pretty cute too, though.
Yeah.
The one thing I wanted to bring up, and this happened when they announced the marathon weekend themes, that's when it all blew up, is because they've been announcing the themes ahead of time versus, you know, waiting until later or what have you, which is great because it encourages people to sign up, but then it encourages people to sign up just for the medal versus just because they want to do the race, right? Like, me specifically, right? Like, I would consider doing Springtime Surprise or one of the other races if I'm like, oh my God, I super need to get this Monsters medal. But like, if I didn't know that it was going to be Monsters, I wouldn't worry about it, right? So like, it's been really hard, I've seen in the Run Disney community, to get registered for these events lately because they're selling out so fast because they have so much extra hype around it because they know the theme, right? So like, I like knowing the theme as far as like, I wish they would say, okay, the Springtime Surprise is Pixar Pals, period, the end. Like, I think that would be good. But then the fact that they're actually like specify, I don't know. It makes it harder for those in like the strong knit Run Disney community. Like, I feel like for Marathon Weekend, I know so many people who are avid Run Disneyers who didn't get in, and it just like broke their hearts, right? Like, it's just, I don't know. So I don't know if it actually is because they're releasing the themes, but there's definitely a lot more hype around it than there ever was before.
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely getting more and more popular every year.
As they should. They're great. Highly recommend Run Disney to everyone. It's so, even as I am not a runner, I assure you. But it's just such a fun, it's so fun.
Yeah, a lot of good energy. Yeah, I've never done it, never will. But yeah, I mean, personally, I would rather know the theme ahead of time. Because I feel like I would be bummed out if I signed up for, you know, a 10K, then I realize, oh, I don't really want to do this theme. I'm not as like excited anymore. So like, that's, I don't, true, know. I would rather know up front, in my opinion.
That's fair.
Yeah. But cool. So yeah, if you want to register for that, it is August 23rd at 10 a.m. So be ready on Disney's website for that. That is going to be pretty popular. So make sure you get in.
It will be.
Yep. But Katie, that is it for this episode. We're not going to do listener questions today because we're already running late. Katie, where can we find you?
You guys can come hang out with me over on Instagram. I am at Magically Mootsy, and then of course on Parksnacker at Magically Mootsy as well.
Awesome. You can find us at parksnacker.com. Make sure you download the app, available on iOS and Android. You can find me on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter at Parksnacker. You know, all of the links are over there. You know, we're everywhere. I'm always posting mostly on Instagram. So, and then, yeah, I'm Parksnacker. I'm at Parksnacker Matt. So don't be afraid to give me a follow over there. So, all right, Katie, until next week, we'll see you later.
All right. Bye.
Bye.